The seventh story, A Young Man's Choice. Two men were standing on a hill looking over the land of Canaan. They were owners of great herds of cattle and flocks of sheep and were looking for the best grazing land near which to pitch their tents. They were uncle and nephew, and the elder man said to the younger, "If thou goest to the right, I will go to the left, and if thou goest to the left, I will go to the right." You remember that man was Abraham, and the nephew was Lot, who had traveled with him from the old home in Haran, and who had been down in Egypt with him. There they had so increased their possessions that there was not room for them to stay together in one place. One day Abraham's herdsmen quarreled with the herdsmen of Lot. Each one wanted the best pasture land, and there was not enough for the flocks of both. Their masters heard of it, and Abraham said, "This will never do. Let us not quarrel, nor allow our herdsmen to do so, for we are of one family. Come and look over the land, and we will separate." So together they went up to this elevation. As they looked out over the country, they could see to the east a jagged range of hills, and in the distance another dark range of mountains, forming a barrier on one side of the land, known in later days as the Wall of Moab. Between these hills was the wide valley of the Jordan. In certain parts, this valley was rich in grass and in all kinds of vegetation. The many streams flowing from the mountains into the river Jordan gave moisture to the fields. Lot could see, from afar, a fertile plain across the river. The Dead Sea, unattractive when one was near to it, because of its briny and bitter waters, now shone with a brilliant and beautiful blue in the distance. Some parts of the valley were desolate and barren, and others were a wild jungle of rank vegetation. But the whole of one side was famed throughout the ancient world for its corn, dates, balsam, flax, and other good things. Lot had heard of all of this, and as he thought of this garden of Jehovah, he said to Abraham, "That is the place that I choose." He made the choice without thinking of his uncle. He was not generous like Abraham. He was thinking only of what was profitable to himself. He did not even consider what kind of people would be his neighbors and friends. Lot gathered together his flocks and his herds. Riding on a camel, he led his caravan toward the east. As people saw him go by, they knew he was rich. The size of the flocks, the many slaves and servants told the story. Reaching the plains of Jordan, Lot decided to settle in the city of Sodom. The Canaanites who lived in these parts were a very wicked people, and the men of Sodom were great sinners against God. Traveling to that part of the country today, we should find the people who lived there immoral, self-indulgent, and vicious. This is partly due to its being like the tropical countries where everything grows so easily and man does not have to work. The luxurious vegetation requires him to make little effort, and the great heat makes him lazy, fond of luxury, and passionate. The years went by and Lot became a prominent citizen. He loved luxury and ease, and yet he was strong enough not to yield to the temptations about him. Put these two men, Abraham and Lot, side by side, and Lot does not show to advantage. He did not feel or think or do as well as his uncle, but beside the men of Sodom he stands forth as a just and a good man. Among many other prisoners, Lot was taken captive in the war carried on with the king of Sodom, and you know how Abraham went and rescued him, how he pursued the enemy and brought back the booty that had been plundered. And Lot was once more established in his home by the goodness of his uncle. Later on, Abraham had a message about Sodom and other cities in the neighborhood, telling him what would happen to them because of their wickedness. It was so great it would bring them to destruction. In those days, God talked with his people in many ways. Sometimes he sent a messenger. Sometimes he spoke in dreams or visions, and by such means as they could understand, he spoke to them. So at this time he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? I have known him, and know also that he commands his children and his household after him to keep the way of Jehovah and to do righteousness and justice. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And Abraham stood before God and said, Wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? If there are 50 righteous people within the city, wilt thou not spare the place for their sake? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God said, If I find in Sodom 50 who are righteous, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham said, If there should lack 5 of the 50 righteous, wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. And Abraham spoke unto him yet again, and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And Abraham said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And Abraham said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And God went his way as soon as he had finished talking with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Then the two angels of God, whom Abraham had entertained at the oak of Mamre, carried a message to Lot. They appeared to him just at the sunset hour. Lot was sitting at the gate of the city. Many cities were guarded by enclosures at this time, and there were gates by which to enter in. Often the great men of the city would sit near these gates for rest and conversation after the business of the day was done. When Lot saw the strangers enter, he rose up to meet them and made a very low bow as he said, Behold now, my lords, come into your servant's house and tarry all night. This was the customary manner of addressing a stranger. In that oriental country, travelers went barefooted or wore a simple sandal. It was therefore also the custom to offer a visitor the refreshment of washing his feet. So Lot told these visitors that they could wash their feet and could rise early in the morning and go on their way. They replied, Nay, but we will spend the night in the street. But he urged them greatly, and so they entered into his house. This house of Lot's was a low sort of enclosure made of hard earth with perhaps sun-dried bricks of clay. His people had been used to tent life, and their knowledge of house building came from settling among the Canaanites. Following the use of caves and tents as dwelling places, houses were first constructed out of leafy boughs. Then the mud houses were made, and the use of clay made into bricks followed. Stone as a building material came later. The inside of the house was very simple. A wall might enclose a small court, and the house proper consist of one room. The better houses had 2 or 3 rooms. One was a living room, another a room for the cattle, and the third a storeroom. Sometimes there were 2 courts, the inner with its rooms being reserved for the women. Lot made a feast for his guest and baked unleavened bread, which was a favorite dish. Before they had lain down to rest, a lawless mob came to Lot's door and commanded Lot to turn the men over to them. Lot knew that the unprotected strangers would be cruelly treated, and with the keen sense of honor that the Oriental man has in regard to hospitality, unless utterly wicked, refused to comply. The men gathered all about the house. He bravely went out and shut the door behind him. Then he urged them not to do wickedly. He even offered to give them his daughters rather than to have the guests under his roof hurt in any way. At this, the ruffians grew angry with Lot. Stand back, they said. We will deal worse with thee than with them. They struggled with Lot and tried to break open the door. Then the men inside opened it and drew Lot in. The men on the outside were stricken with blindness. Lot was courageous and unselfish in this affair, Hospitality was considered in that day and place a greater virtue than even the care of members of the family. To refuse shelter and food to a stranger was, and is, to these Eastern people the worst kind of wickedness. Mr. Trumbull tells us that to this day the Arabs point out a place as the old Sodom, where, they say, stones from heaven were hurled against the people who misused some travelers seeking hospitality there. This is how these people feel. "This tent is mine," said Yusuf, "but no more than it is God's. Come in and be at peace. Freely shalt thou partake of all my store, as I of his who buildeth over these our tents, his glorious roof of night and day, and at whose door none ever yet heard nay." When Lot was safely within his house, his guests, who were God's messengers, told him that Sodom would be destroyed, that he and his family must leave the place at once if they would be saved. "If," said they, "thou hast any sons or daughters or sons-in-law in the city, bring them out." And Lot went out to the men who were to marry his daughters and told them to get out of the place, for the city would be destroyed. They mocked at him and would not go. When the morning came, the angels told Lot that he must hurry, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters who are here, lest thou be consumed in the destruction of the city." Lot lingered. He hated to leave all that he had gained. Finally, the men took Lot and his wife and his daughters by the hand and brought them out of the city, for God was merciful unto him. Then came the word, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." But Lot begged that he need not go to the mountain. "Let me," he said, "go to the little city of Zoar. I can live there so much better than in the mountain." This was granted to him, and the messenger said, "Haste thee, escape thither." The sun was rising as Lot entered the city of Zoar. Soon after, brimstone and fire came down on Sodom and Gomorrah and on the cities of the plain. All the inhabitants perished. All the things that grew out of the ground were burned. The whole district has been barren and desolate since that time. Men have not been able to decide just where the cities used to be. Lot's wife, loath to leave, looked back as she went on her way, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early that morning and looked out toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw the smoke going up from the land as the smoke from a furnace. In this district near the Dead Sea, travelers have found the soil full of bitumen, with reservoirs of oil and gas, pools of petroleum and sulfur springs, so that it was little wonder that Abraham saw the smoke going up as the smoke of a furnace. The intense heat of the burning cities would cause terrific explosions of these gas and oil reservoirs. In such explosions, the gas carries the oil high in the air and it falls back in fiery rain. Salt mud is often thrown out, and the water of the Dead Sea is today so full of salt that when the water dries on the skin, it leaves a crust of salt on its surface. Perhaps you wonder why this sea is called the Dead Sea. The amount of salt and other minerals make the water heavier than a human body, so that it is impossible for a man to sink. Consequently, no living thing can exist in this sea. There is neither fish, nor shell, nor coral to be found there. In the neighborhood are cliffs of crystallized rock salt, and there are masses of salt broken off from the cliffs which stand as pillars, so that before the passerby there stood, and still stand, visible reminders of the great truth that Jehovah's command must not be lightly heeded. Lot could not stay in Zoar. He was so afraid of what might happen. So he went up to the mountain, and there he and his daughters dwelt in a cave. Cave dwellings are still used, though not as much so as in an earlier period when men did not know how to make houses or tents. The Moabites and the Ammonites, of whom we hear often in later times, and who settled in the country east of the Jordan River, were descendants of Lot, his daughters having children after they settled in the mountains. For the rest of his days, Lot was a poor and lonely man. He had made his choice to get all he could for himself, and, after all, He had nothing. Perhaps he learned something of the better way as he looked over to his uncle's home and thought of the good old man and of how, in the early days, Abraham had not always pleased himself.